Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Every day, longer has ever.
For the Blog Talk listeners, oh God, I thank you, oh God, for healing the people of God. I thank you, oh God, for coming into this place, Jesus. I thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No, never has ever, ever known. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a sweet worship, amen. Hallelujah. But the end of that song says, never would a man, never could make it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can't say I never would have made it.
I had almost it.
Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me. I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back on the days you brought me from, come on, say baby, because I had you to hold on to. Never would have made it. No, I never would have made it without you. Oh, I would have lost my mind, but now I see how you were there for me. I'm stronger, I'm wiser, and I'm better, much better.
Anybody feel that way this morning? Anybody feel that way this morning? All because of God, amen? Somebody said, I would have lost my mind. Amen. Where would we be if it's not been for the love of God? Amen. I heard the praise team leader say we just take a glance over to that wall. Amen. On our left-hand side, we can see just the sacrifice that God has made for us. Amen. But if I could just look back on yesterday, I don't have to wait 2,000 years beyond my years. Amen. Or look back 2,000 years ago. If I just look back on yesterday, God is a good God. Amen. God is a good God. Amen. And I want to ask for those that know the words of prayer, continue to pray for our prophetess. Amen. Pray for her mindset. Pray for her health, her strength. Pray for her family, those that are around her. Amen. The physicians. And when I say pray, I need you to start praying right now. Amen. I need you to pray for those that have their hands on her life. Amen. Those that would not tolerate anything from her, but to find out what is moving in her body, amen, so that healing can take place, amen. We're going to plead the blood of Jesus over her life right now, amen. I need you to just set your mind on your prophetess right now, amen, and asking your warring angels, amen, to camp around her right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. We claim victory in her life, amen. We claim healing in her mind, amen. We claim soul salvation throughout her body, amen. And we plead the blood of Jesus throughout her body. Hallelujah. 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 And whatever the assignment the enemy has set up for her destruction, we cast it down right now in the name of Jesus. No manipulation, no canning frustration, no pain, no ill feeling, amen, no confusion. We bind it on all of those things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And may God's people say, amen. Amen. Giving honor to Christ who inhabits my life, amen. Amen. I know that protocol has already been set, but how many of you today just love on the Lord, amen? That doesn't sound like a lot of love to me. How many in this place just love on the Lord? There you go. There you go. Hallelujah. All it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody find me the scriptures. 1 Peter 5. We're going to move through this quickly. Amen. I need someone to read off that first verse for me. The very first verse. Uh-huh. Well. Uh-huh. Well. Talk right there. Where says the elders? Getting ready to help some of us out, including myself. The elders which are among you I exalt, who am I also an elder? Peter was talking to these people. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. While in other parts of the country, I was on my way to church this morning, and I saw something in my vision. Now, what was in my vision was my father. I'm talking about my biological father. And what I saw him do set me back for a little while. I'm just driving in my car, minding my own business, knowing what the Lord has given me. But I always ask, God, I need you to give me an example to what you have. That way I'm able to give life with the help of you, Lord. Amen? Don't you know that the scriptures are life? And we are the vessels that he decides to use to bring forth life. Amen? Because God is a spirit, and sometimes people don't recognize who God is because they can't see him, but they can see you and I. Amen? So in my driving, amen, and I bless the Lord that I came alone, but it was what I saw in my dad. I saw him on the cell phone. I had saw him with his coffee. I saw him with his fishing rod. And when I saw him just boop, it was effortless. And in my vision, it took me back to when you were sitting on the bank of the river. And all of these things he was casting out into the river. But he didn't have any effort to it. It just, poop, is there. Have you ever did something it didn't cost you much effort to do it? Amen? Some of you do hair. Some of you actually drive trucks. Some of you do payroll, some of you direct planes, and once you learn how to do it, it's not much effort in doing it. But I also saw that he was on his cell phone, he was drinking his coffee, he was telling Brutus, shut up over there. So he had a lot of things going on, amen? Then in the other hand, I saw great work. Now, with this great ease and without effort in his part, he was casting his line out into Fort Lauderdale's river. That was just a small slip of his wrist. He was able to send the hook into the river in hopes of catching something. Amen? But it was then that I realized that the scriptures became the life for me. And after telling this to Courtney, I called back and I said, would you believe this? Look at what God said. And telling this to him, it said, to be clothed with humility and to humble yourselves so that God may exalt them in due time. Now, the apostle Peter, he picked one of the most provoking thoughts and peace-giving verses to me. Now, many of us have turned to this verse and we've quoted it over and over and over again. And times of stress or depression and things like that have invaded our space. So much so that we can't really concentrate on these things. I'm going somewhere, just stay with me. Now, it is important, however, to note that until we can meet the conditions of verse 5 and 6, we cannot claim the promises of verse 7. What I saw, what my father just threw, I want you to keep picturing that. Somebody with a rod is just throwing out the other piece. Amen? Now, I'm quite sure that this image of this fisherman is standing in the water, and with all his net in his hands, he sometimes, like Peter, casts out his net. Amen? Anybody ever seen it? You ever seen him pick up the crab bucket and just throw it out there? Amen? Now, it's in this scene of that fisherman, the activity involved is a practice of his trade. Amen? Throwing out the net in order to catch the fish. Come on, somebody. This is what Peter was telling the church when Peter wrote this here song, amen, to the church. He wanted to let them know how to be fishermen of men. I told you I was going somewhere. Now, that is what the Holy Ghost had done here by using Peter. And yet, instead of speaking of casting a net, Peter tells us how to cast our care unto Christ. Somebody read 6 for me. Amen. So what do we have to do, church? So first we got to learn how to be fishermen. But in order to do that, we have to do what again? I need somebody to read verse 7 for me. Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh. Did he say, I mean, he cared for me? Turn to your neighbor and say, I gave it all to God. And turn to the other neighbor and say, how about you? My God. Amen. Gave it all to God. He said, cast all of your cares unto him. Why? Oh, somebody's listening. God bless you, scholars. Amen. All of your cares. Now, the word care here has a meaning of anxiety and or the state of being pulled apart. And ladies and gentlemen, it appears to me that very often our lives are spent engaging in activities of doing this very same action. We get stressed out. We get opinionated about something. What does it say? You make a mountain into a molehill or a molehill into a mountain? We make things bigger than what they need to be. I bless the Lord that my daughter gave that testimony, amen, because if I was standing before you, I could be a wounded deer just licking my wounds off in a corner somewhere. But I dare not stop doing the work of the Lord. Why? Because there is much work that is needed in the kingdom. And I don't stand before you as a perfect being, but I stand before you as a being striving to be perfect. So I need you to know that the word says that we all fall short. Amen? But the idea is not to be repetitive in your following, but is to repent of those sins and keep it moving. We don't need to revisit old things. Amen? Because if you repent of it, that means you already recognize what it is. Now, if you return to it, it's because you truly didn't repent. I'm in Uncle Sam. I'm just putting that little pin in real quick. I need you to get that mental note. Don't keep telling me, oh, God, know my heart, and I just keep falling, and I just keep asking for forgiveness. You better cut it out. Cut it out. He said, cast all your cares unto me. Now, don't pray, my Father. You understand? You can't tempt God. He ain't gonna be able to do it. So stop playing with God. I don't know who I'm talking to. But if the Holy Spirit is leading me, I'm going to tell it to you. You need not to worry about praying with the things of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, if we are not careful, we will have the tendency to pull everything apart. Now, stress on our jobs and problems at our home, difficulties making ends meet, and constant battles of our life often make us feel as if we're never going to be in a moment when we can just sit back and relax. Oftentimes, I used to say to Deacon Harvin, I just don't understand. I can't never get a break. Everything in my life has always been difficult. Everything in my life has always been difficult. It has always been a battle. It has always been a chore. It has always been something. But in this, I realize that those few times when we are able to catch our breath as a result in realizing just exactly how far behind we are in several of life areas in our lives. Why are things so difficult for you, Pastor? Because you're hard-headed. Why are things so difficult for you, Pastor? Because you're hard-headed. Deacon Hall, why are things so difficult for you? Because you're hard-headed. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Why are you calling these saints of God hard-headed individuals, including myself? Because when God tells you to do something and we make up in our mind that we're going to do something else, difficulties come. Come on. Amen? Now, when these difficulties come, what do we do with them? What do we do? What are we supposed to do? Cast it off. Flick it over. Give it to God. I imagine watching that river flow, and I love to see that river behind our home, because oftentimes you'll see the ripples going this way or the ripples going that way. But when they stand still, it's almost like a certain peace or serenity comes across. But I can only imagine that when I'm casting my cares and the ripples I'm running, God is moving it away from me. But the difficulty comes in because I have my cast all my cares under God. And when you realize that you haven't really given it all to God and you're trying to fix it yourself, we mess it up. What does that mean? That means I've been hard-headed. Disobedient unto God. Well, you ain't cursing nobody. You ain't doing nothing wrong. Disobedience is disobedience. Sin is still sin. I need you to get this. God is still God. He's the same today, tomorrow, and amen. So if he's telling me, Peter, he sent Peter back. I need you to talk to my people. Now, this scene happened a few days after, maybe about 30 days or so after Christ had already went on home. He had already told Peter, this rock, I'll build my church. Amen? So what he was saying to Peter is, I'm going to give you this letter. Now, in this letter, not only did I give it to Prophet King, but Prophet King gave it to Minister Jabilians, and the Jabilians passed it back down to Deacon Hall, and then Deacon Hall sent it across the way to Sister Saran, and then Sister Saran came back and gave it to Sister Simone. I'm talking about these things that just keep going on and on. And today, we are part of this letter. On this rock. Somebody say this rock. Amen? Now, the man that I saw on that day casting his line into this river, amen? So similar is the way that we are acting in our relationships on which we care for. He was not putting much effort into what he was doing. All it took for him was just to put the line in the water. By a flip of his wrist. No effort. But now, this is not what Peter is trying to get across here. There are fundamental differences between the type of casting that onto what men and what I saw during that time and casting him out to what Christ is telling Peter to tell the church. For it takes much more than just a simple flip of the wrist to cast all your cares unto God. The reason why it takes so much of an effort, more than just a flip of the wrist, is because our pride won't let us. Anybody got pride today? Come on. No, act like you don't have it. Amen. We have pride. We don't want to see nobody. We don't want nobody to know about our illnesses. We don't want nobody to know about how much we weigh anymore. We don't want anyone to know if we're going through financial difficulties. Hey, come on, somebody. I'm talking to the church today. See, these are things that we have as stumbling blocks and we don't realize it, but the help of the Holy Spirit is unveiling us today. We have all of these difficulties going on, but nobody wants to release. I have a hard time releasing things onto people. Amen? I remember I was walking and a man said, "Weren't you scared of that snake?" I said, "No, he did. I'm scared of the ones that are alive." Well, if we just walk through this part of the graveyard, you ain't worried about going in the graveyard. They dead. I'm scared of the ones that's alive. Come on, somebody. So what is happening in this scenario is that we're not really trusting that God could do all things. I don't really trust that all men can. Let's use the aspects of my own personal business. I can't release everything, because if I release everything and I sit back, seem like everything fall apart. Come on. Even so much for the church. If I can just let go of everything, I'd be all right. Probably so you got a control issue. No, I don't have a control issue. I have a deficiency in the church. Come on, somebody. If that deficiency wasn't there, then I can let go and let God. But until then, he has me in place for that reason. God has certain things in your life, and he will not leave because until you get rid of your deficiency, and give all your cares unto him, that's a deficiency that we have. That's a problem that we have in the body. That we're not really releasing all that we can give to God because we got so much pride to hold on to this negative thing that keeps weighing us back. Y'all still following me today? I didn't lose anybody, did I? Say deficiency. In actuality, if we are going to do this, as this verse is directed us, then we must view it in the same way that those who fish with nets do. To properly cast their nets out into the water, they must get their whole body into it. Can't just take the hand and just throw it. Amen? I remember my daddy, I told him, let me try to throw that crab net back there. I had to bend and grab and take and throw. I couldn't just sit there and just pass it. It wasn't going to go nowhere. Anybody agree with me? Amen? Hallelujah. It also requires the beginning to kneel in a position as if you were gathering the net. And in this case, it would mean that we must first go to our knees and gather all our cares and our concerns that we have not yet given to Christ. We must remember that the one who cared for us, amen? We must remember that he will bore all the sins of the world if that is, the world is not able to bear for us. All of our cares. The word says all of our cares. Tell somebody all of our cares. Amen? So can you imagine just picking up all your cares and falling down on your knees and just talking to God from A to Z? all of them. Every single issue, every single problem, everything. I need you to make sure you are. There you go. I want to see your face. Amen? We must remember that the one who bore all of our sins is the one that gave his life for us. He did it willingly. Amen? It is because of his great love for us that this is even possible to go to God. Amen? He loves. Amen? He is the answer, and he knows no limits. Sometimes we love each other with conditions. I was sitting, like I told you all earlier, with my family, and they agree that some of our family members we can get along with, and some of them we just, well, in other words, we got cliques in the family now. It's not good. I bless the Lord that even in my difficult relationship with my own father, it don't even matter. I'm going to tell him what thus says the Lord, and if he don't like it, I'm going to keep it moving. But because of this God that we serve, it brings on a certain condition and conviction to the heart. And with that conviction comes humility. And with that humility comes repentance. And with that repentance comes a certain compassion. As to, I love you, daughter, I'm sorry, I know I'm this, I know I'm that, whatever it may be. Because then now there is no line of separation. There is no limit to how much I love you. You understand what I'm saying, saints? We put conditions on how we're going to love someone. Well, I'm not going to love them if they did this to me. I'm not going to speak to them if they don't do this to me. Or when I was a child, they did this, so I'm not going to let go of that hurt. But the Word tells me, and Peter said, that we have to cast all our And it shows me that his love is unlimited. I bless the Lord for that. That he was even loving you even when you was in your mess. He was waiting patiently for you to come to him. I can only imagine, can you imagine where you have seen a group of balloons and they have a net and someone broke that net and all the balloons came falling down? Imagine that each balloon is a blessing waiting to be an answer to your prayer. Sometimes we have to have a visual in order to get this. Amen? Now, we are given the glorious promise that he, Christ, cares for us. Amen? That's what the scripture says. He is personally involved in our lives and his children. He knows what problems that we face and what difficulties lie ahead. Amen? He already knows tomorrow before you forget about yesterday. Amen? If we would be so careful to give all of our fears and our concerns over to him, then he would cause them to work out for his glory. Tell somebody his glory. And for our good. Amen. It's for his glory and for our good. It's for his glory and for our good. Amen. So how do we cast all of our cares onto the one who cares for us? How do you do that? The secret is found in the word cast. Look with me quickly here as we see how we are casting all our cares onto him. In verse 7. That seed could stand for commit your burdens to the Lord. Somebody read that scripture once again for me. Verse 7. A commitment for you to give everything to God. He's committed to you. Amen? I just want to ask you to ask your neighbor once again. I'll tell your neighbor, I gave it all to God. Turn to the other one and ask him, did you? That makes sense, don't it? I gave it all to God. I cast all my cares unto him. I told him everything that was going on in my life. I told him everything that was going on in my ministry. I told him everything that was going on in my personal life. I told him everything that was going on between me and my doctors. I told him everything that was going on my street. I told him everything that was happening between me and my neighbor. I told him everything that was happening between me and my brothers. I told him everything that happened between me and my sisters. I even told him everything that me and my children shared. I even gave him a conversation about my grandchildren. Are we giving everything to God? Somebody. Amen. I even told him how I wanted to fix my hair. And I can't wear a hair style because in the middle of my head, it starts falling out. He said, okay, I got you, Gabe. He started growing back. Hallelujah. Now, I can do what I want to do. Y'all can laugh at me if you want to, but I get all the glory up to God for my good. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't got to act like y'all love him. I'll hold it back. Now, we must commit our burdens unto the Lord. Now, this is so much easier said than done. Anybody agree with me? Remember, we talked about pride. Pride won't let you do certain things. Come on. So it makes it difficult to let certain things go. Now, this is so much easier said than done, and we must have what we would call control-free issues. She just said that from the pulpit. God bless y'all. We have such a control-free issue, mentalities with so many other aspects of our lives, and we often are unwilling to do so much things or needed action in our own personal life. Why? Because mentally, we don't want to let go of things, because if we let it go, somebody else will mess it up, then it's more work for me to do. If I tell them to do it and they don't do it, it's going to be more work for me to do. Now I got to do what I got to do and do what they're supposed to do. Anybody feel like that? I'm like, Brother Brendan, you better not mess up my hair. Because if you mess up my hair, cause I got to go back and do it over again. So sometimes we got to let down our guard. Amen? Sometimes we, as people, as believers, as Christians, as followers, whatever you develop yourself as, sometimes we just got to let go and let God. They let the cookie crumbles fall where they may. I just don't want them to fall in my room. All I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we talk often about giving our burdens and our cares and our concerns, our anxieties, and all of our worries over to the Lord. And we may fully intend to do this when we pray, but there is still a degree of pride. It's still there. That we have concerning the burdens that we carry. We even justify it by saying, this is my burden, this is my lot in life. If God did not want me to carry it, then he would not have given it to me. This is just a thorn in my side I got to live with. Did God tell you that? We make excuses for not doing what we need to do for ourselves to be stronger in the Lord. Well, this is just a burden I got to go through, and I just got to figure out my way and how to be able to deal with this. Not so. It's just another weak statement that we've created for ourselves to give ourselves an excuse not to perform the duties of the Lord. Come on, somebody. I'm not ready yet. I haven't been raised like that. The fact of the matter is, you have a bishop and you have a pastor, the apostle that has been before you for the last 5 years teaching and priding you and inserting the word of God into you. Now, if you have not received or taken hold of, that's not our concern. That's your personal business between you and God. I don't think I'm talking to lazy people in here, am I? Nope. I heard that way from the back. Nope. Amen. Why? Because there is a work that we need to do, and then we use and or we're now more proactive in the things that we need to do by ourselves so we can be more effective in the body of Christ. Why? Because of our pride. I don't want all my family members to know everything that's going on with me, because if they know that, then I got to fix it. And when I fix it, then I'm going to be responsible for something. I don't want to be responsible for nothing. So I'm going to stay right here where I am. Uh-oh. Come on, somebody. And in that factor, we're not casting out tears unto God. Your mouth is saying it, but your actions shows me a whole lot more differently. That's why I bless the Lord for, how do you say, confirmation. Those that can witness my life. As even my daughter said, God bless you. As to say, the bad news came in. It hit the apostle. It didn't weaken her. It didn't wound her. It didn't stop her. God bless you. What she did was humbled herself, pose for a moment, pray about it, cast it unto the Lord, and kept it moving. I didn't need to make a phone call. I didn't need to tell somebody else what happened to me. I didn't need to tell them what the doctor said. I didn't need to go into that. You know why? Because this doctor that I know that is able to do all things exceedingly, abundantly, above all that y'all can imagine, that's the one that I called on. Amen. Do I believe the report of the doctors? Yes. Why do I believe the report? Because I believe that God placed them strategically in my life to correct this situation. So I'm not so wounded that I can say, I don't listen to the doctors. I'm not going to believe what they say. You better cut it out. You better cut it out. God created everything and everyone. And he can use any and everybody. No one would ever know anything is wrong with me unless I open my mouth. Why? Why, Mother Brown? Because they see his glory. Hallelujah. No one would know anything could be wrong with Brother Lowe. Why? Because they see God's glory. Hallelujah. Jesus. Now here, God did not give you the burden that you would carry it, amen, or for you to carry it by yourself. It is all actuality. He gave it to you, amen, the burden that you carry it in order that you might go back to him and give it back to the Lord. So what God did is test me. But now that I have this problem, or now that I have this issue, and or now that I have this concern, he needs to see what am I going to do with it. But with your big old practical stuff and all your broad shoulders, you can carry this weight. You go right on in. Amen? Because I ain't got time to carry weight. I ain't got time to carry your weight. Uh-oh. Did the pastor just say that? Yes. Because Christ had already paid the price. He had already given you a way out. Peter was just instructing us right here to cast all our cares. You guys may not believe it, but as I open my eyes and I put my feet on the edge of the floor by my bed, I always say, thank you, Lord. That told me right then and there, he removed all my cares. Y'all should have been shouting right there. Y'all get that. I can hear Bishop Poole saying, let's get on their way home. The mere fact that he woke you up gave you another day to get your life together. Come on. What I realize in society is that we formed all these other auxiliaries, all these other organizations, and in efforts to say that we are appeasing God and we're appeasing God's people, but we're only appeasing the people that are chosen by us. We're going to be given to the place that we're picking and choosing who could be a member of our firm. And how is that, God? It's called pride. I'm proud and I'm big and I'm bad enough to say you can be and you can, you're not. You can be and you're not. You can be and you're not. There's division. I remember back in the day in the 80s, they used to have this jacket called the Members Only Club. Members Only. Y'all remember that jacket? Members Only. When God and Christ are free, no members only. I need y'all to check yourself. Talking to every single person in here. Check yourself. When there is separation from the rest of the world, the only separation should be church and state. And even sometimes they got to cross paths. Am I right about it? Church and state. The church got to get involved with what the state is doing, because if the church don't get involved, the state going to run amok. You heard it, didn't you, brother? So many different things are going on right in front of us, and we really don't even see it. Because pride is still there. Arrogance is still there. Sometimes fear is still there. Anxiety is still there. We're scared of the unknown. We don't want to know, because love, what I don't know ain't going to hurt me. We said, amen? Over and over again, we are told to do this, to cast all of our cares. But throughout the Old Testament, we find a number of examples of those who are doing the very same thing. In Psalms 37, David tells us to commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen? To commit ourselves and our burdens to the Lord means to give everything. Somebody say everything. Repeat after me. Our lives, our families, our jobs, our possessions, our fears, and all of our cares over to his control and his guidance. You believe that today? Do you believe it today? Because if you don't believe it, it really is not going to work for you. We must also ask for his help. Anybody ask for the help of the Lord? God, please help us. Please, I can't do this by myself. I can't allow myself to be delivered because I don't know how to deliver myself. God, please move this mountain, Lord. You know my financial situation. You know my marriage. You know my life. You know my soul, God. I need your help, Lord. I need my family to be made whole, God. I need my children to turn from their ways, God. I need your help, Lord, God. Father, I need food on my table. Somebody, we need to have a sincere prayer and a real conversation with God. Amen? Furthermore, he wants to hear us verbalize our needs to him. Nobody talks to God anymore. Let's be real. I'm not talking about when you come into the sanctuary. Everybody under the sound of my voice does not talk to God. Now, this does not mean that he does not already know what our needs are. He knew before we did what we were going to come to or what our ways would regards to care the concerns of life would be. Word said that he created you while you were still in, he knew you while you were still where? In your mother's womb. He knows everything. We're the ones that don't know. If you would have said to me that I would have been considered an apostle, I was all right being the choir president. I was content. I was all right, even when the people told me, no, you ain't ready for that, that ain't you. I was all right even when my husband said, yeah, you should just keep on teaching the word like you're doing, but I don't see you being a pastor. I was all right with that. I was all right with that. Great responsibility. No one wants responsibility. Amen? Now, In Matthew 6 and 8 tells us, for your God knoweth what things you have need of, because you have asked him. Matthew 6 and 8 continues to say, and yet he still wants us to bring all of our cares in prayer. So, he already knows what our problem is. He already knew who we were. He already knew what we were going to go through. He just needs to know you're going to be faithful enough to tell him about it. Anybody ever just talked to God and just told him what you was standing in the need of? Amen. Even in my body going through all of the extreme pains, amen. Even later on my husband's heart can find out you need to try some other things to make her pain go away. God already knows what you need before you know. And sometimes he lays it on the hearts of others to make sure that you are right. Pride. Somebody say pride. Say pride won't let me. Won't let me. Won't let me cast my cares unto God. Because, see, I already had a strategy. I was going to work this out. I was going to fix this. I already knew what I was going to do. So let me do this the way I watch it, the way God gave it to me. And half the time, you know God ain't give you nothing. God already laid on my heart. I know this is God talking to me. You better stop it, you little beautiful children of God. Amen? Here it is. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Philippians 4 and 6. Herein lies an important lesson for us, that the phrase be careful for nothing means that we are not going to worry about it. While this is easier said than done for many of us, it is assuring us that it is the fact that as we let him know of our needs, he will, in his perfect way and in his perfect time, meet all of our desperate needs. I said to Deacon Hall, pray for me, brother. He said, Pastor, I pray for you all the time. So sometimes I think all I got to do is just lay down. But I believe that the saints of God are lifting me up. Can you say that for yourself? Are you living a life in front of others that you know that without a doubt somebody is praying for you? Come on, examine yourself, saints. Are you living a life in front of others that you know for a fact somebody somewhere is praying for you? Well, how wonderful it is to know that our Lord wants to hear from us. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he wants us to talk to him about all things that bother us. We must also realize that the Lord is often waiting to see if we, in fact, are going to bring back our request to him. He wants to see if we would be willing to come to him and or if we are willing to continue to try it on our own. I got this. This is a God that already equipped me. He knows me already. Brother Brendan, I can do it on my own. I'm going to call you out. But some of us need this, amen? Now, some of the most special times that you would ever have in prayer would be when you drop all of your pretenses. What do you mean? I don't need you to holy, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah. Get out of yourself. Stop pretending certain things and just have a sincere heart. God, this is what's bothering me. This is what's hurting me. Stop being holy in front of other folks that you think are holy, which ain't just as ratchet as you are. Uh-oh. It's time for us to let go and let God. All of this extra ain't gonna get you in the heaven's door. Because no man is changing. I have so much pride that I can lay hands and pray for you, but you better not lay hands and pray on me. I'm reminded back in the scripture when I was in revival with our other spiritual daughter, amen? Minister Pooh made a plain that when the, even the king, they had this cloth that they would take on, amen? And they would cover them large and cover themselves. But even the king took off his garments and put on this same cloth that all the ladies or all of the subjects in the kingdom had. This is the same cloth you put on to humble yourself or show homage and kneel and pray. Some of us elders, come on, the scripture said the elders, right? He was talking to the big people of the church. That's what you read, wasn't it, Deacon Hall? He was talking to the elders. We get so big to the point that we don't know ourselves and come down the way you are. I can hear the bishop right now, y'all. You can't hang out with the regular church people. The devil is alive. I need to be with you because I need to see where you are in God. If I'm always up here and you down here, I don't know what's going on down here because I'm too busy looking up. So we're going to have to pray on that one. He was talking to the elders that we are not giving everything to God. Oh, I wish my prophetess was here today. I pray she see it. I'm not just talking to her. I'm talking to prophet. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to the deacons, the ministers. God is saying that I need you to give everything to me so that I can use you and you can be more effective than my people. Give everything to me. Not just what you deem fashionable to be able to be present in front of other people. Oh, God, for I love you so much. Oh, God, dear Jesus, I stand out. I won't take care anymore. Cut it out. I want your sincere heart. I want your real praise. I want your real worship. I want you to really give me everything you got. No matter what it is, no matter who's around you, when the fire of God come your way, stop and talk to me. I bless the Lord for witnesses to my life. Because when they come, you listen to me, the civilians. When they come, I stop. I humble myself. I pray. I tell God I know he's going to work it out. I know he's going to make it away. I know he's going to make it able for me to do all things exceedingly and abundantly. See, this God that we serve, the one that he told Peter, go and tell the elders, I need you to let go of everything. So you can work in my vineyard. So you can do my bidding. So you can do what I called you to do. I need you to stand up for me, God said. It's for his glory, but it's for your good. I bless the Lord for that every time I darken this pulpit, there's no pain. That's for my good. But it's for his glory. Pastor, you all right to do this today? Because you know yesterday he was hurt. I'm going to get out of my way. I need to run to the pulpit. You know why? Because that's where my salvation is. It's all wrapped up in him. It's doing his bidding. It's working for the Lord. It's creating a certain path for me. I need to know that when they open the Lamb's book of life, my name is there. Get out of my way. I got work to do. Amen? Somebody said, get out of my way. I need you to just release everything to God. I need you to cast all of your cares onto him. Now talking to the church. We can't be a successful church unless we give everything to God. Amen? Anybody ever seen a balloon and it had weight in the bottom of it and it holds it down? But when you let it go, it flies all over the place. All of your issues, all of your problems, they just hold you down. But when you let it go, they just fly all over the place. You are free. Stand to your feet. Amen. Put on a word of worship. Amen. Just tell myself, I'll say I'm free. I let go all my weight. Come on, come on, come on, somebody. This is a prophetic move right now. I am free, and I'm letting go all of my weight. I am free, and I'm letting go all of my weight. This is a prophetic move right now, church. You ever notice that the word of God has changed in this season? Amen? Back in December, amen, even going into our new year, I told you that prosperity was on the rise, amen, and 2015 will never look like 2014, that we are doing bigger and better things, that our lives are growing, our spiritual mantle is broadened, the things of God have been released unto God's people. The man of God came right back in this church and stood at this same mantle and said that the cycle was over. It was over. A prophetic call. I am free. I am free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of your cares. All of your cares. We got young people in this church, elders, ministers, deacons. We got a whole family. This young lady has how many children? 5 children, 6 children? A whole family. And I only know of one that reaches out to them. So I'm going to serve you notice on today. Amen? That if you are free, you need to teach these young people how to be free. You understand me? It takes a village. And not that she's asking for anything financially. She hasn't even asked for help. But the idea is she needs it. We all need help. What does that mean? That means I got to go buy clothes? No, that means you need to pick them up and spend a little time with them. We are family. This is what God was telling Peter to go back to the elders and talk to the elders and tell the elders of the church. I charged you all 3 years ago to spend time with Brother Justin and Brother Sherrod. Doesn't happen. It's too many men in this church that can show them how to be men. If we don't start at home, we're never going to start abroad. Charity starts at home. Am I right about it? I am free. Come on. Amen. I just need you to just move forward collectively. Collectively. Come on, everybody. Just move forward. All of your problems, no matter what it is, no matter what it is, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. No matter what your problem is, you have family members in jail, wrongly accused, you have sickness in your family, you have illnesses in your family, you just want to be saved, you just want some family members saved. You want God to go into the prison. You want God to just do a work for those that need healing in the hospital. Come on, come on. Don't be ashamed to step in line. I need everybody to just touch and agree and just put your heart on God. Sincerely put your heart on God. Come on, go ahead, brother. We have illnesses in our bodies, things pertaining to weight. We want to lose weight. We want to get healthy again. All of these things, we just want to give it to God. We want these impurities in our bodies to just go away. We want to believe that God is going to just change it. Remember that neck filled with balloons just waiting to just be bust out to you? I need you to just pray. Just really pray. Come on, faith. I need you to tear down the walls of Jericho. Go ahead and speak out loud. Just speak your prayer. All that was, come on, come on. Let's just tear it down. Let's confuse the devil because he can't hear everybody at one time. Let's go. I need you all to open your mouth and talk to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just keep on praying. 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 There's a breakthrough in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. There's a breakthrough in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 healing, deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things in which have already shortly come to pass. And he has sent us in significance by the angels unto his servant John, who had bared record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and that heareth the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. For all petitions that are laid before God and the thrones that are issued unto God, that he grant the petitions of every saint, and that the prophecies of the visionaries now give life and give breath unto God's people and set forth into this atmosphere. This in all claims we ask and we petition unto the Lord, and every saint say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All of our cares. Amen. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. Amen. Amen. You may go to your seat. Amen. And the final aspect of catching the tires upon him is what we simply trust in him and we take our Savior at his word. Amen. And he means what he says and he cares for you in all the ways that you can't possibly begin to imagine. Even when you cannot track him, amen, you can still trust him, amen. Though you slay me, yet I will still trust you, Job said. And God has put all of my trust in him, and I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me, David said. Trust him in all things, and ye people, pour out your hearts before him. For God is your refuge, amen. This is what David said. So today I invite you to cast all your care unto the Lord. So we're not going to worry about those that are in the hospital, those that are in need, those that are in pain. Why? Why are we not going to worry? That was a praise right there. That was a praise right there. That was a praise right there. Because you cast all of your problems, all of your burdens, all of your situation unto God. Now let me warn you. Get out of the way. Let go and let God. If you were able to do it, it would have been done by now. So Deacon Clayton, I look forward to a praise report from you. Amen. Amen. I look forward to you, saints of God, reaching out to the children in this ministry. Amen. Amen. Young people, children, hello, children, you paying attention to me? When you are in the care of others, I expect you to behave. It's nothing like my wrath. It ain't nothing like it. Amen? I'm serving you notice now. It ain't nothing like it. So I'm telling you in front of your mother, I will chasten you. You can take it any way you want to take it. Amen? So, saints of God, I expect you to get active in these children's lives because this ministry is doing some great things now. The cycle is open. Prosperity is on the rise. Amen? Hallelujah. All standing to your feet. At this time, we turn the church over to our prophet for our dismissal. Amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the listening, and we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen.